chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 is our next reading. Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Let us pray. Father, as we continue to await your Son's coming, you give us your words. You speak to us. We know that I can't proclaim your word. We can't hear it. We can't do it on our own, but only with the help and aid of your Spirit. So we pray now for the power of your Spirit, enabling me in my speaking and us in our hearing and all of us in our obedience to your word. Through Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen. It's that time of year again, time for the music, pomp and circumstance, time for accepting your diploma with one hand and shaking the administrator's hand with the other one, time for moving your tassel from one side of the cap to the other. It's time for congratulations and hugs and photos with family and friends, time for posing in your cap and gown. And I want you to imagine the class picture in this morning's scripture from Acts. It's a small group of graduates who just completed Jesus' 40-day intensive course on the kingdom of God. We have seated on the front row from left to right, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas. And on the second row, standing, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. Each one of them is proudly holding a framed copy of their certificate, signed by the risen Lord himself. Unfortunately, Jesus wasn't available to be in the photo because, according to the way Luke describes it, he's sort of in and out of the circumstances and situations from day to day in his resurrection life. They had all that. They had the class photo. Music was probably involved too. In this case, it was more hymns than orchestra. Jesus' disciples started their ceremony with, "We praise you with our minds, O Lord. We praise you with our minds, O Lord, kept sharp to think your thought. Come, Holy Ghost, with grace outpoured to teach what Christ has taught." So they sang that, and then right before the benediction and things were going to wrap up, they sang more about Jesus. "More about Jesus, let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me." The whole thing was quite an occasion. It actually turned out to be more of a worship service than a ceremony, a commencement exercise. By the time everybody left, that's what they felt like they had participated in. And after it was all over, they headed to the upper room where there was a graduation cake waiting in the shape of a Bible for everybody to continue the celebration. In most cases, graduation is a way of getting launched into the larger world of employment or career, or maybe going on to the next level of study and expertise. It's a time for moving into opportunities to utilize your knowledge, exercise those skills that you've learned while you were in school. You've spent several years preparing to take this next big step in your life, so now is the time that your educational institution at whatever level sort of sends you forth. They exhort you to dream big, pursue your passion, take risks, follow your dreams, get out there and go for it, is often the way it's communicated. But for Jesus' first disciples, that's not exactly the way it worked. Instead of telling his disciples to go out and change the world, which eventually would happen, Jesus tells them, stay put. Their first job isn't to go forth and show the world what they're capable of. Their first job, after all their learning, is to wait and pray. For now, he wants them to park themselves, park their dreams in Jerusalem till they receive power that God will pour out, pouring out his presence and setting their mission in motion. I guess it's natural that those disciples would have wanted to get out there and unleash their learning, practice their skills, their training and experience. They're sort of, at this point, chomping at the bit to see God's promise of a restored Israel start to take shape. And during, I think, the course of their studies with Jesus, they've seen how the interaction between student and teacher is a crucial part of that learning, especially questions and answers. And now they've got a question of their own. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel, bring in the salvation in its fullness that you promised? Maybe they think that by just asking the question, they can move things along some, set something in motion. But Jesus' answer just reinforces the fact that this whole redemption project that God has started, it's God's project. It's not their own. As one translator renders it, Jesus tells his disciples in response to their question, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. Now, in this case, notice how the teacher doesn't want to send the students out into the world under the illusion that learning in and of itself is enough. The disciples have received plenty of instruction on the subject of God's kingdom. They've mastered the content, whether it was in the textbooks or online, in their modules, whatever form it's come. But their preparation, Luke says, to be witnesses isn't complete without what Luke calls power from on high. In other words, they still lack the most essential component that they'll need for their task, the Holy Spirit, the personal presence of God enabling them, empowering them, guiding them as they carry out their mission in the world at ground level. And that's because it's one thing to be an expert in a particular subject, but it's another thing to apply that expertise in the challenges and the circumstances of daily life and everyday circumstances. Some of you may be familiar with an event called the Running of the Bulls in Pamplona, Spain. There's a journalist called Bill Hillman who's an expert on the event and even captured some of that in a book he co-authored titled How to Survive the Bulls of Pamplona. But several years ago, just knowing about bull running and being informed enough to write an instruction manual, a book about it wasn't enough. There was a 1,320-pound bull named Bravito who ended up goring Hillman in his thigh and another Spanish gentleman in the chest. Both of them recovered, and then later on, Hillman's co-author of that book told someone in the New York Times after that experience, we'll probably need to update the book. Jesus knew that in order to be faithful witnesses, his disciples would need to be more than just Bible experts with an advanced degree in kingdom studies. That had value and importance. But having been with Jesus during his earthly ministry wasn't enough. Having experienced his resurrection appearances wasn't enough. Having received instruction from the risen Lord himself for 40 days wasn't enough. Only as Jesus would be present in them and among them through the Holy Spirit would the disciples really be able to do the work of Jesus. It's easy here in our scripture passage today to overlook Luke's opening remarks, where he begins the text by pointing back to the gospel of Luke that he's already written. We generally believe that the author of the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts are the same person, Luke. And so at the beginning of today's text, he points out back to that gospel in which he says he described all that Jesus began to do and teach, began to do and to teach. So here's a sign really pointing us forward, telling us that in the second volume, the book of Acts, it'll be about the extension and the expansion of Jesus' work and ministry in the world. What Jesus began, his successors, his disciples, will continue it. And they won't continue it by their own strength or by their own wit, but only by the animating, energizing presence of the one who has been raised and shares in the life and the kingdom and the reign of God. Only so will the Jesus work continue to go forward. So when the Holy Spirit, as Luke goes on to tell us, finally descended on those first disciples and really the whole church, these followers of Jesus, they took to the streets. They went public with this good news about the kingdom of God. And as they preached and taught and healed, sometimes folks would ask them, what's the significance of that bracelet you're wearing, W-I-J-D? And they said, well, we'd originally planned on W-W-J-D. What would Jesus do? But that makes it sound more like Jesus is just a first century Galilean who went about doing good, who's a model, a good role model for others. Our mission, they said, is more about what Jesus is doing, alive and present now. And thus our bracelets, W-I-J-D, what is Jesus doing? Our mission is to be part of that and to share in it. So I think they were growing. They were growing into one person's observation that it is not our ministries that make Christ present, this person says. It's not our ministries that make Christ present. It is the present living Christ who makes our ministries possible. Amen. Think about how much we've reflected on the resurrection for multiple weeks now and several Sundays. The present living Christ who even makes what we do possible in this church. So there in the midst of daily life in Jerusalem, these disciples, they taught, they began to teach others, and this teaching, it wasn't just a matter of transferring religious content from one person to another. It was about a way of living. It was about a way of being in the world that showed forth Jesus. It went beyond just, here's religious information, take this. It was less about just transferring information and more about transformation into who Christ wanted them to be. It meant taking on more of the character of Christ in their own lives. Each year there's a professor, his name is Scott McKnight, and he gives his incoming group of college students a test. And one person describes the test this way. Test begins with a series of questions about what the students think Jesus is like. Is he moody? Does he get nervous? Is he the life of the party, or is he an introvert? The 24 questions are then followed by a second set with slightly altered language in which the students answer questions about their own personalities, not just Jesus' personality, but their own personality. And McKnight notes that he's not the only one who's administered this type of exam. It's been field tested by other professionals as well, but the results, he says, are remarkably consistent. Everyone thinks Jesus is just like them. And he added, the test results also suggest that even though we like to think that we are becoming more like Jesus, the reverse is probably the case. We try to make Jesus like ourselves. Discipleship. Authentic discipleship isn't about remaking Jesus in our image. It's about being remade into his image and his likeness. Mastering his curriculum is one thing, and that's good and great, but it has to be accompanied by taking on his character, his life, his way in us, and in our church. Otherwise, the kingdom of God, well, that's just a subject at the top of a course syllabus and doesn't sink in to become a way of life, a reality that really changes how we live. I think one of the signs of our own transformation, more into the likeness of Jesus, is how we extend this knowledge of the kingdom of God to others here within our church, and especially beyond our church. Once the disciples received this power of the Holy Spirit, this power from on high that Luke says, they themselves were talking up the kingdom, they were doing the kingdom, they were making the kingdom visible, seeing others come into it. So in one sense, Jesus' first disciples, they were simply out there recruiting new students for the kingdom of God, enrolling others in the reign of God, calling them to come in. I like the way that Dallas Willard puts it when he says, isn't this the gospel? That when others not only hear the content of it, but also see how we live it and present it, they say, I want that. I want that. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be one of his students, learning how to live in the kingdom of God now as he lives in the kingdom of God. Dallas Willard spent a lot of his life trying to figure out and understand why the church doesn't raise up more people who look and act like Jesus. And in an interview shortly before his death, he was asked, when you look at how far off track the church is, don't you ever just throw up your hands in despair and give up? And Dallas Willard smiled and said, never. Well, why not? He was asked. Because, he said, I know that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and he knows what he's doing. Those first disciples believed that Jesus knew what he was doing. Remember that after he and they completed this 40-day intensive course on the kingdom of God, and he had given them some final instructions. He ascended. Before he ascended, he blessed them. So everything that they did from there forward, it wasn't an attempt to impress their teacher. They already had his blessing. They knew they already had his blessing, that everything they did, day in and day out, to bring this kingdom of God to bear on their lives and on the lives of others, would simply reveal the truth of Jesus' message and reveal that Christ was risen and reigning at the right hand of God. It was done. So I know today that it's early June and we're already deep into graduation season in lots of ways, but remember that in the life of the church, school is year-round. Jesus' primary class, the Kingdom of God 101, it's always in session. And enrollment, it's always open. We go about it Sunday by Sunday and in various ways during the course of the week as well. It's always open. That's because we're always learning more about what the Kingdom of God is, how it's happening. How can I align my life with it more? How can you align your life with it more? And for us, discipleship, therefore, isn't just about knowledge alone without the power of the Holy Spirit. It also isn't about the Holy Spirit alone without knowledge and learning and study. In the life of discipleship, we need the light that comes from learning, studying God's word, opening the scriptures, hearing the word preached and taught, especially here on Sundays and in various ways during the course of our daily lives. We need the light that comes from learning the word, but we also need the enlivening that comes from the Spirit. That way, we're both equipped and we're empowered to speak the kingdom of God in our daily lives, to do the kingdom of God, to share the kingdom of God so that others may know they're called to enter into it with us. Here in our day and time, in our circumstances, in this world where we are now, let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son who lives and reigns with you now and forever, for how you continue to teach us about the reality of your kingdom, and you give us your Spirit to illuminate our learning and to empower us for how to put it into practice in our daily lives. We pray that we will continue to grow in the knowledge of your kingdom, taking on more of the character of Christ in our lives through the work of your Spirit. We pray now in your Son's name. Amen.